Thank you, Gary. This morning, I'm gonna talk to you about going out of your way to give thanks. Going out of your way to give thanks. Told you last week that Thanksgiving is just a good time. It's much more than just a season. But we're getting ready to go into the season of Thanksgiving where we come together as family and friends. Thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Hopefully, God will give you a good meal and an opportunity to sit back and reflect. Amen. And whatever you do on Thanksgiving, whatever your tradition is, just remember to honor God.
Amen.
And not only that, I told you it's more than just a season or a day where we come together as family and friends and churches. But it's an attitude that you should have. Because young folks, let me tell you something. You can have education. You can have money. You can have a whole lot of friends in your Rolodex, a whole lot of friends in high places. But that's nothing like being a respectful, honest person. I have no more gratitude than to help somebody and they say thank you. They don't have to jump through no hoops, but for me to help them, you have to tell me what your life story is. All I want you to do is be thankful. Because if you ask me to help you, I can't help you unless it's something that the Lord has provided for me to help you with. And I'm thankful that he gave it to me, not just for me, but he gave it to me. In other words, people say, God bless you so that you can be a blessing. Amen. So we ought to get in what you call an attitude of gratitude. You ought to be thankful for every single thing that you have. God didn't have to do what God did, but he made. Amen. And whatever your situation is, he can bring you out. A lot of times God don't bring you out. He brings you to something so you can stay there, and then he will bring you through it. When he brings you to it, he's showing you.
They are ungrateful, and they want you to be grateful. Amen.
know y'all do what I do. Have y'all pulled up at the store? You seen people standing out there at the store?
Yeah.
It's the same person all the time. You might get out, grab your hand, you might give a little money sometimes. But they're standing out there all the time. After a while, you might just drive up to the store and drive on from the store. You might get out your car and walk fast to the store, and then you speak to them real quick and go on in the store. And then what you do is, you don't come back out the way that you came in. You go out the other door, amen, somebody, and go around the other side and get back to your vehicle. Am I the only one that does that? But sometimes you have to go out in your way.
Amen.
Just to be thankful and grateful. Not just for what God has done.
That's right.
But God blesses you through me.
Yes.
And you ought to be grateful.
That's right. That's right.
In this text, I'm going to hold you long. It's real plain. This text right here is bookended in Luke 17. This is Dr. Luke, so he knows something about leprosy.
Amen.
He knows something about disease. This text is only in the Gospel of St. Luke. And I believe it's because he was a physician and he understood medical practices. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
In this text, it's funny that it's sandwiched in between faith. He's talking about faith. Then he's talking about the kingdom of God coming. And then all of a sudden, he begins to tell this story. Jesus got a way of doing something.
Yes.
I find myself talking like this. I know if y'all talk to me, I'll be like, what is he talking about? I'll start talking about one thing, amen, and then I'll jump off and start talking about something else in their life, and then after a while, I come right back to what I was talking about. Well, that's just the way I was built, baby. I don't know. My daddy used to do it, amen. Jesus do it, amen. And now I just do it, amen. I guess that's just the way to keep your attention, because if you ever talk to somebody, and then before you can finish your sentence, they try to think they know what you say. You don't know what I'm getting ready to say. You don't know why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. And that's right.
Amen.
So that's built, that technique, what Jesus used and I use, that's built to make you listen.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Okay. Now, Jesus coming through to Jerusalem. His face is set like flint because basically that means when you see Jerusalem, he's made up his mind to go to the cross. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 says he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross to die for the sins of the world. Amen. And when he's coming through Jerusalem, it says he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. A lot of times we read the Bible so fast and we don't study to show ourselves approved, we don't even know what that means. That's significant right now. It's significant not only because he's at Galilee, his birthplace, but he's at Samaria. What that means is he's at a place that other people who say that they know God is rejecting people. Okay, I see y'all again. When Samuel became king, Samuel the son of David. When Samuel died, David brought the kingdom together, but Solomon is the one who built the temple, and everybody came to one central location to worship the Lord in Jerusalem, just like the Bible says. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam got in charge. When Rehoboam got in charge, he went to some people for counsel. Now the elders, when he went to the elders who've been there, done that, amen. They were out of them with David, and they were with other kings. They knew what it was. They knew the people of the nation and the fear of the nation. And he had sense enough at least to ask them for their input. Amen. But what he did was he went to the elders and then he asked another group. He said, what should I do? They said, listen to your elders. They said, what you need to do is heed what the elders are saying. Amen. Then we have the option because you're the king, you ultimately going to make the decision.
Right.
So after he heard from the elders, then he goes to his peers. He goes to people his age. He goes to people who've never really experienced anything, and he went to them for advice. They said, you're the king. Don't you go listen to them. Oh, don't let them tell you what to do. Do whatever it is you want to do. And the Bible said that what he did was he taxed the people beyond measure, and the people rose up and revolted. And I don't want to stay there for a long time before I'm going to tell you the story, but it's just like it is today. When you see somebody in leadership, I don't care what it is. I mean, that's where I understood that deacons can tell you to call them into a meeting, because I understood I may be the pastor of the church, but I need some help. Amen. You need God to walk around you. Amen. So help. He give you a good wife, good husband, good friend. He put people around you so you would have sense enough to listen. And I don't want to back to beat, bash nobody, but that's what's wrong with some of our politicians. They say, I'm this and I'm that. And they got counsels around them who tell them, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't take that speech. Don't make that phone call. Don't do that. And they do whatever it is they want to do. Now, listening to his friends. Listen to me, young folk. Listen to me, old folk. Because young folk, stop listening to your friends. Because they don't give you anything. They don't put no clothes on your back. You don't have to answer to them. As a matter of fact, the same problem you have, they have. If they can't help themselves, do not go to them. This is for somebody who's older. You already established, got your own friends, your own car, your own thing. Stop trying to be like somebody else. Stop trying to listen to other folks. If you don't like me, you just don't like me. You don't have to be together, talk to them. And you split the kingdom. What I'm saying to you, if you ever get in charge, it's not about the title. Sometimes God will put people around you more intelligent than you. See, I don't care how smart you are in the church. I don't care if God raised you. I hope he do raise you up. So your gift and exercise and work in this church. All I want is for God to stay with me so that I can do what he called me to do, and that's preach this gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I get down out the pulpit and take my robe off, I can live what I preach about. That's what I want you to do for me. But he raised you up, and you smarter than me, to God be the glory. Now you can help me not make some ignorant decisions. Amen. Yeah. If you've been here a long time, and you see me wavering, talk to me, so you can keep walking the straight and the narrow. Is there anybody here?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Rehoboam messed up, and the kingdom divided. 10 tribes went to the north. Then Jeroboam was selected. Jeroboam was selected, and there was divided. Southern kingdom, northern kingdom. Now, Jeroboam, the Bible describes him as very wicked, but he was a king, so he wasn't no fool. Y'all know what he did? I just told you, the folk had to come from the north to come down to Jerusalem. Listen, come to Jerusalem, amen, so that they could worship. When I'm talking up to Jerusalem, when they went through, they had to go through Samaria a lot of time to worship. This king was smart to the Romans. Y'all know what he did? He took and built his own temple. Yeah. And he put golden calves in there. Amen. Yeah. And he said, y'all don't have to go to Jerusalem. Yeah. He said, here is the Lord your God. Yeah. Y'all can worship right here. Yeah. Now y'all don't sit up here and act like y'all are not too far removed from that. Because today, in this modern Christianism, y'all want comfort and convenience. Let me say it again. Comfort and convenience. You want to work somewhere where you really don't have to do any work. You want to go to church and worship somewhere where you really don't have to worship God. My job is to worship God for myself. I'm not a cheerleader for you to worship God. I'm not going to take the part of his mic and come out there and lift up your hand for you and tell you to open your mouth and get out. Rehoboam set up a kingdom that was not like God. Y'all know what happened? God gave them mercy. That was 900 something B.C. 722 B.C. God got mad. God sent the Assyrian army in to take over Jerusalem.
Yes.
When the Assyrian army came in and took over Jerusalem, and they took them Jews back, do you know they looked at some of them pretty women and they said, uh-huh. And they started having babies. Yep. Those babies became the Samaritans. Now, like I said, don't sit here and act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about, because we do the same thing.
Yes.
We look at folks and we say, she look mixed, amen. But wonder, who was her dad? Who was her mom? Don't we say stuff like that? And then the people in the millennial age, what y'all do is y'all accept people more than the older generation do, amen. The older generation here, we want to know who's mom is, we want to know who's grandma is, we want to know where you came from, amen. And if we don't like really who you came from and who you are, we will reject you, amen. And we're coming into a time where a whole lot of people are mixed and a whole lot of people have different types of blood in them. And if you can't accept people for who they are, baby, I'm sorry you and this generation, amen. But long story short, Jesus went through Samaria. And it says he went to a certain village and he met 10 men. Y'all see it? 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Okay, let's break that down. That's for a little while. I just want to teach a little bit this morning. Is that all right with you?
Amen.
Now listen to me now. So now we know that Samaria is a mixed country. Most people don't go there. Is that right? But Jesus is on the outskirts, and he entered the village. And that meant him to tell me that he stood afar off. Now that meant something that they stood afar off, because when people were lepers back in the day, they stood afar off because according to the law, they couldn't come into contact with people, amen. And they could not, they were isolated. Matter of fact, because they were lepers, they were humiliated, amen. And they were supposed to stand outside the camp and declare themselves unclean, so they was not supposed to come into contact with people. This is why the Bible says they stood afar off. And then they lifted up their voice. In other words, they yelled out to Jesus, and they called Jesus Master. Now, most people read that word Master, but they're not thinking. Most time when people read the word Master, it really translates to the word Rabbi, but it's not that word. Because these men don't need no teaching. That's what a rabbi needed. Yes. These men needed somebody who could heal their condition. That's what a master does. A master who Jesus is the Lord God that healeth thee. He's the one that can step in your situation and make a change in your life just because he's God. So they cried out for that particular one that said, Master. Then the Bible said when he saw them, he said to them, look what he said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, how many of y'all would have been there shaking your head and saying, why I got to go to see the priest? You saying me to see the priest? Why I got to go see the priest? You know what I'm saying? Won't you just touch me like you did? Because you know that faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yes. If you turn back to the Gospel of St. Luke in chapter 5, you will find out that he healed a leprous man. And I'm pretty sure that somehow, some way, that they heard that this man had healed a leper before. Amen. And so all they wanted to do was get close to him so that they could get healed too. Is there somebody in here? So that word Master. Seventh time you see Master in the Gospel of St. Luke. Amen. To tell you that the Lord is the Master. Ain't that right? And then you see these men that come to Jesus. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Amen. And the Bible said it was that as they went, they were clean. When you obey God, you just might get what you're praying for. You pray for something, and then God tells you to do something, and you keep on doing what you want to do, and nothing happens because you are not obedient. Then you keep on being disobedient, you come back to God, and you start praying again. Lord, I know you hear me, Lord, and Lord is not going to bless you until you do what he said to do. Amen. Then you walk and you obey what he said, and you just might receive your healing. Amen. That was pretty plain right there, Reverend Thompson. I give myself an offering on that. When they went, they were cleansed. You see it? And then, look what it says. And one of them returned. One of them returned. My God. And when he saw that he was healed, returned. Okay, so he walked with the man. Let me tell you, all leprosy was done and they went to the priest, right? And it said he returned with a loud voice and glorified God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Out of 10 men, 10 was healed of leprosy. In my mathematics, I'm not that wise or mathematician, but I know 10 out of 10 is 100%. Ain't that right?
Yes.
Then I also know 1 out of 10 is what? 10%. 100% healing, 10% gratitude. People help you 100% and you give 10% thanks. You ask somebody to help you, they do everything you ask them to do 100%. You don't even say thank you. Matter of fact, some folks, when you help them, if you help them enough, they get mad. They don't talk good about you, amen.
Yes,
y'all do know that the very folks y'all help are the ones that's talking about y'all. Philosophers, amen, and great psychologists, and a great thing to call, yeah. cold outside. It don't matter. You spit on the ground. You come and tell God, thank you. You sick, I don't feel that good this morning. But I'm going to go to church. I made it to God's house.
Yes,
I'm going to tell God, thank you. You heard me. Thank you.
Then they went to the priest, a big brother said, Jesus.
can do it. When the priest laid hands on me, it was all in the priest. Ain't that right, somebody? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I just want God blesses you to get a car, and you know you ain't got credit to get a piece of God. And God made a way for you to get a car. You gonna tell somebody about somebody that calls after you. You had so much money, you ain't have nothing. That's why you couldn't get a car. Depending on each other, and I'm gonna get mad with you, and you're gonna get mad with me, because we ain't that, right?